this book called How to Meet. And, of course, How to Meet really doesn't tell you how to meet. In one sense, there's no formula. In fact, the New Testament really doesn't say a lot about how to meet.
Yeah.
I don't think the Lord wants us to be formal and to do it in some kind of way, but there are principles concerning how to meet throughout the New Testament that should uplift our vision. And so we're coming to chapter 10 of this book on how to meet. And why don't we declare the title together? How to meet with a proper life in spirit. Okay, so the first thing with the meeting isn't what we do in the meeting. It's actually all the time we spend outside of the meeting that becomes the base for our practice in the meet life. So one thing that's quite interesting, you know, that one of the only sections of the New Testament that really talks much about meeting is 1 Corinthians. But you know, 1 Corinthians has 16 chapters. And it doesn't come to really the matter of meeting till you get to about chapter 14. I mean, it mentions here and there a little bit about meeting. So the whole view of it is with the meeting life of the church and uplifting it out of any kind of disorder and chaos. And, you know, there were some problems in Corinth, no doubt.
Yeah.
But you can see from here, you have to realize that to have the proper meeting life in 1 Corinthians 14, we need all the preceding 13 chapters at least. So just kind of in this section, our brother kind of reviewed the book of 1 Corinthians. Now realize, in 1 Corinthians 1, what do we see? We see the wonderful Christ. It says that God made Christ, he was made wisdom to us from God. Right? Christ is God's power and God's wisdom. And it says, of God are you in Christ.
Amen.
So the starting point is not our meeting life. It's the fact that we are in Christ.
Amen.
And we were made, and this Christ was made to us wisdom from God,
amen,
righteousness and sanctification and redemption.
Amen.
And God intends, he called us into the fellowship of his Son. He wants us to enjoy this Christ.
Amen.
And you know, it's a, and then later in the book, there's a little key to that because he says, the last Adam became a life-giving spirit.
Amen.
So how can we enjoy this all-inclusive Christ, who's the wisdom of God, the power of God, who's our righteousness, our sanctification, our redemption, because he's become a life-giving spirit.
Amen.
Through his death and resurrection.
Amen.
So now all that he is to us must be realized, must be experienced,
amen,
not by any other organ, but by being in spirit. See, so spirit touches spirit.
Right.
He's the spirit, and we have a spirit.
Amen.
And when these two come together, we have the experience,
amen,
of this wonderful Christ.
Yeah.
So, although the Corinthians weren't so much this way, Paul was. And so he continually set himself as a pattern before them. So he talked to them, even when they were not so good, he would talk to them. He says, I couldn't speak to you as to spiritual men, but as to fleshly, as to infants in Christ. Well, the reason why he was called, wanted them to become spiritual as he was. So he says, you know, because they were disorderly. He says, do you want me to come to you with a rod or in the spirit of meekness? That means he was a person who lived in his spirit. His coming to them, he could come to them in such a spirit. Okay? And you just go through different parts. He said, even when there was a sinful situation among them, he says that when you were gathered together and my spirit was present among you, he lived so much in his spirit, he could visit them in their meeting in his spirit. In chapter 5. And even when he was dealing with problems like some domestic issues, marital issues, he said, even, I don't have a commandment from God, but I give you my opinion, but I believe I have the Spirit. So you can see, even when he was just having fellowship about domestic things, you know what I mean? And he was even somewhat talking, giving his opinion about, you know, marital issues and this and that. He was a person who was in his spirit.
Amen.
He wasn't fully confident that he was, everything he said was in the spirit, but he had a certain kind of assurance. So he was this kind of person that was living in his spirit.
Amen.
So I appreciate this. So what do we see with Paul is we see the right kind of person. So saints, we're not trying to manufacture a meeting. We're here to become the persons that God needs to satisfy him. So I like this. If we would be a right person and meet together in a right way, we must be this kind of person, like the Apostle Paul.
Amen.
Let's read that last sentence on that second paragraph.
To meet in the right way
We must be the right person. And the right person is one who lives, walks, and has his being in the Spirit.
So, you know, for example, in Galatians, he talked much about walk by the Spirit.
Amen.
You won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. He says, if we live by the Spirit, let us walk by the Spirit.
Amen.
So this was the kind of living that Paul had. This was what he was calling the believers to. So this is really wonderful. So you go through in chapter 6, he talks about how can we do this? He says, but he was joined to the Lord is one Spirit.
Amen.
And then he says something to the effect of, we're the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells in us.
Amen.
So he's not talking about doing here. He's not talking about how to have a meeting. He's talking about the kind of living. We have a living of this one dwelling in us, and we have a living. We're one Spirit with the Lord.
Amen.
This is wonderful. So then he works his way through, and I don't need to get into all the details. You can read it yourself. But he starts to get here to chapter 14 here, and you can see he wasn't so much concerned about gifts. A lot of the ones, they were really into the gifts, but he talked about the gifts, but not in such a positive way. He says they were abusing the use of the gifts, right? So, you know, so you have these groups. The brethren, they saw the matter of everyone should speak, so they use 14:26. And the Pentecostal people, they would talk about these different matters about the miraculous things. But we need to see there's something here deeper. Let's come to the last couple of sentences on this paragraph. Not gifts, but life. It says concerning Paul.
He was so strong in his spirit.
He was forever exercising his spirit. This is the proper way to live. And this kind of living is the first necessity of the proper way to meet. So now he's saying, okay, I could talk about meetings, but if these guys over here, all they care about is basketball, and all these people, they just care about, you know, buying neat stuff and gadgets and new cars and this and that, and these folks over there, they're into, I don't know what they're into, you know, anyway, they just love shopping. And he says, now I come to talk to you about meetings. It's not going to work. You see what I'm saying? You don't have the capacity for it. Okay? So I could talk to you about fundraising, but it'd be hard to talk to you about this kind of meeting life. Why? Because to talk about exercising the Spirit is a foreign language. So in the last sentence there, let's just come to that. If I encourage you, let's read that in that top paragraph. If I encourage them to raise a building fund, to obtain the best and most eloquent speakers, or to build a temple or a cathedral, that would be easy. But to tell them to exercise their spirit, that they may all prophesy one by one, would be impossible.
They would chase me away.
See, no capacity. Okay? So we need to have this life of enjoying Christ. So here, in the next paragraph, it says there are so many chapters, okay? There are so many chapters preceding it, telling how Christ is everything to us and how we must exercise our spirit to enjoy and to experience Him in so many ways.
Amen.
I like this. How about let's read that next sentence together. Following chapter 14, we still have two chapters telling how Christ is the life-giving Spirit. How our spirit needs to be continually refreshed with Christ, and how we need to live, move, and do everything in love. So can you see it, saints? What we're seeing here is that the meeting life is based on a foundation. And if we're the proper persons taking the way to live day by day in this kind of way, then we're qualified to meet together. We have the right foundation.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe what, you know, our brother was, when he gave this in the late 60s, he was talking to an audience that could appreciate what he was saying. Because saints that were exercising their spirit, contacting the Lord during the week. So to come together and say, you don't need formality, you need to release your spirit. The audience could perceive this. So let's come to the bottom of this, the last paragraph. What is the proper way to meet? We can read the first, read the few sentences, alternate brothers and sisters. Together.
What is the proper way to meet?
Brothers, one.
We must have the proper life.
Sisters.
We must exercise our human spirit all the time to take Christ.
Brothers.
We must be so accustomed to exercising our spirit It is not just a matter of doing this in the meetings, but in our daily walk with our children, our husbands, and our wives.
Oh, we must forget about exercising our minds and turn rather to exercising our spirit. Okay, sisters.
And our spirit will be so strong, living, and aggressive.
Amen, brother.
By taking Christ as our life and experiencing Him as everything day by day, we will have a spiritual savings account.
Saints, when you come to the meeting, do you have a spiritual savings account?
Amen.
That is, do you have a rich surplus?
Amen.
You know, our Jewish counterpart, the children of Israel, when they came up to Zion, they were supposed to come empty-handed. They needed to have some produce from their labor on that land.
Yeah.
You know, their bullock, their choice wheat, their barley, whatever it was the Christ that they experienced and enjoyed.
Amen.
It's in typology, right? So we need to come up with some cargo of Christ.
Amen.
That we could offer. So it's not a matter of what's the right stuff. If you have the riches of Christ you've enjoyed at the right time, you just offer a little bit. Just your top tenth of your enjoyment of Christ.
Amen.
To satisfy God and to satisfy the brothers and sisters. I like that last sentence here. I said, okay, we will continually deposit something of Christ
into this account and have a rich surplus of our experience of Him.
Sister.
We will come to the meeting with a strong spirit and a rich surplus.
How will we come to the meeting? We'll come to the meeting with a strong spirit and a rich surplus.
Amen.
Oh, saints. This is how we need to come to the meeting.
Amen.
Then, brothers, then too,
we only need to exercise our spirit to stand up in the meeting, to function, to prophesy.
Okay? And then, sisters.
It will be so spontaneous for us to do so. It will simply be an overflow of what we have been experiencing of Christ all day.
Brothers,
there will be no strain. It will just be a continuation of our normal daily experience of Christ.
Together, huh?
Whatever we do in the meeting, we'll be living and rich with Christ in the Spirit.
This is awesome, saints. So some Christians have been veiled by this 1 Corinthians 14. They think it's all about foretelling the future or something. They're prophesying. But actually, the prophesying here is not a focus on foretelling the future. It's a speaking for the Lord.
Amen.
Speaking forth Christ.
Amen.
Presenting the rich Christ that you have enjoyed in your daily life.
Amen.
And if you have enjoyed a little bit of Christ, you offer that like a little turtle dove. Mm-hmm. If you know, or even a little bit of a fine flower that you know.
Amen.
Or if you enjoyed a lot of Christ, you bring your ram, you know, or your bullock or whatever it is. But we just come and offer whatever we've enjoyed.
Amen.
And that becomes satisfying to God.
Amen.
And feeding and nourishing to all the brothers and sisters.
Amen.
I think this is good. So I don't know that I need to read all the rest. He just says at the last, he says, last couple of sentences of that paragraph. Yeah. We need to come in what? In a new and living way.
Accustomed to exercising our spirit with Christ as our life. And with a rich surplus of Christ, this is the way to meet.
So in this little hymn, it just says, in daily walk and in our meetings too, Christ is the center, Christ is everything. And then in the last, that next sentence, well, it says, this then in his name we meet in spirit act, in the last, and with himself in spirit exercise.
Amen.
Then we'll just sing that together.
In daily walk and in our meetings too, Christ is the center, Christ is everything. 'Tis not for form nor doctrine good and true, but 'tis for Christ alone we're gathering. 'Tis in his name we meet in spirit act, with nothing in our mind to formalize. 'Tis by his power we pray and hunch and praise, and with himself and spirit exercise.
Amen. Okay, so that's good enough for me.